Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Today is Monday, March the 27th, and I am still here in Denver, Colorado, heading back to Kansas City tonight. So didn't want to miss updating you guys on the podcast. So I decided to go ahead and live stream for you all over here on Facebook. If you're listening to me right now on Facebook, thank you so much for tuning in. But if you're listening to us later, you can always download us, of course, on iTunes or on Stitcher. The name of the podcast is The Freedom Report, and we've got a lot of great reviews over on iTunes and Stitcher. So if you are not able to tune into us when we go live on Mondays for the Freedom Report audio podcast, then feel free to listen in later on iTunes or Stitcher. Just head over there and listen to the Freedom Report podcast anytime you like, in your car, on the go, on your iPod, whenever you like. So today we're going to be talking about the big subject, lots of shakeups in the conservative media sphere, and I would say on the right wing in general. Thankfully, we haven't had any of those problems at the Libertarian Republic or at Liberty Viral. I see one of our Liberty Viral writers is over there, Mark Gage. Thanks so much for joining us for our show this morning. So before we get started today, first, a word from our sponsors.
A big thank you to my sponsor, Podbean. I use Podbean's hosting services for the Freedom Report podcast, and let me just tell you, it's been absolutely great. It's a wonderful home for this podcast. If you're considering starting your own podcast, Podbean offers an easy-to-use platform with all the tools you'll need. Now they make it even easier with the ability to record podcasts on the go with their podcast app. Record and publish right from your phone. If you want to give Podbean a try, go to podbean.com/freedom and you'll get 1 month free. That's podbean.com/freedom.
Yep, and we're back. All right, so big news, obviously, is the story that not only is Tommy Loren gone temporarily, it looks like Tommy Loren has been banned permanently from the Blaze Network. And this is huge news, obviously, because I would say that other than Beck himself, Tommy Loren had been their biggest star. And she's always a big topic of conversation. She's always been a controversial figure in the conservative movement, just because she had been sort of considered a young gun, like a thought leader, until recently, when she said that she thought that conservatives were hypocrites. But I have a story here that I want to read to you. This is from Page Six. They're the ones who really were breaking some of this big news. And then I've got an equally good story from The Hill talking about how conservative media is struggling with new prominence under Trump. So let me read to you the story from the New York Post. We need to discuss it because it deals with one of our good friends, Glenn Beck. And, you know, obviously we're all, you know, at least I am for sure concerned about what's going on over at the Blaze, because we have so many friends over there. But let's read this story and then let's talk about what's going on. This is by Richard Johnson over at Page Six on the New York Post. The title of it is "Shakeup Causes Drama at Glenn Beck's The Blaze." Tommy Loren won't be appearing on Glenn Beck's multi-platform network, The Blaze, anymore. Sources say Loren, who was suspended last week after flip-flopping on abortion and declaring herself pro-choice, has been banned permanently. Quote, Glenn is reminding the world of his conservative principles by sidelining Tommy after she insulted conservatives by calling them hypocrites, one Beck insider told me. Fans think Beck, once a big Ted Cruz backer, has lost his conservative bona fides. He went on Samantha Bee's TBS show in December and apologized for being divisive in the past. Quote, he's trying to balance being a leading conservative thinker and also someone who can unify the country, the Beck associate told me. He just couldn't sit by and watch as Tommy Loren said there's no way for conservatives to justify anything other than being pro-choice. Beck's trying to reinvent himself, a former insider told me, but he's burned too many bridges. The Blaze, founded 7 years ago in Dallas, once had offices in New York and 300 employees. Now the New York office is closed and the staff is half that size. While the number of paying subscribers, once said to be 300,000, is kept secret, TheBlaze.com attracted 29 million unique visitors per month in 2014, and only 8.8 million uniques in February 2017, for a loss of more than two-thirds of its traffic. Wow. Jerry Del Coliano, founder of Inside Radio, said Beck's syndicated talk radio show has slipped as well from number 3 to number 5. Beck has lost his mojo, and The Blaze helped him lose it, Del Coliano said. It's hard to figure out where he's coming from. All right, so there's quite a lot to unpack in looking at this because, you know, as libertarians, I think libertarians, they probably used to hate Glenn Beck much more. They used to despise Glenn Beck, and many of them still do. But I think that there's been a change in Glenn Beck's demeanor and his attitude that hasn't sat well with his conservative audience, even as it has sat well better, I think, with his libertarian audience, of which I think maybe, you know, is a perhaps a smaller percentage. But I think that the reason why so many people have disassociated for themselves from Beck in recent years is not because of any ideological twist that Glenn has taken. Because I don't think of Glenn Beck really as conservative or libertarian. I really think of him as more just an independent thinker. And there is nothing more dangerous than not associating with a tribe than to consider yourself an independent, right? So people will pay lip service to independents, but they won't necessarily support them because there's like, oh, well, once you find that there's something that conflicts with your orthodoxy, you can feel fine trashing them and throwing them by the wayside. You know, and I experience this quite a lot in libertarian circles is because I have a pretty strong independent streak. You know, I don't like to drink the Kool-Aid, for example. And I think that probably what has happened is that Beck, when he goes on Samantha, when he goes on, what's that liberal show that I was just reading, Samantha Bee, that shows a willingness to go outside the tribe. And people, I mean, look at all of the tribal practices and customs that we've had throughout history. You know, whenever somebody defies a tribal practice or a custom, you're just going to get, you know, burned at the stake as a witch, you know, and it's just how we act when we're in groups. It's just group psychology. And of course, when Glenn Beck was such a stalwart against Donald Trump for the nomination, and the Republican Party was for the most part, and the tribal conservatives for the most part were lining up behind him, Glenn Beck had the courage to say no. He had the courage to say no and to stand against the crowds and to stand against the horde and to say no, that this is not conservative, this is not libertarian, and this is not what we support. But for Glenn, he had to deal with the fact that he had a very strong Trump supporter in Tommy Lahren. And Tommy was not going to go against the horde. She was not going to do anything that might lose her subscribers. From a financial perspective, you know, it was a smart move for Tommy. But, you know, the thing is that you see what happens when you go out and Tommy wasn't just going outside the orthodoxy when she was talking about abortion. She's been going in and outside of any sort of thinking. I wouldn't say that Tommy Lahren, I wouldn't compare it to Glenn when it comes to saying, oh, she's just being an independent thinker. Because the problem is that she flips in the matter of 3 weeks, right? She was just 3 weeks before she was chastising baby killers. And you know that she said she doesn't read books. So it's not as if she was like, oh my gosh, I just read Ron Paul's The Revolution and I have seen the light. You know, I think that what she was doing was she was just being a bald opportunist. Look what happened with InfoWars. Look what happened with InfoWars. InfoWars is a perfect example. You know, do you suddenly think that Alex Jones is going to be calling out Donald Trump? No, he knew that by supporting Donald Trump, he was getting establishment support. He was getting establishment money and getting establishment views. And we'll talk more about Alex Jones here in a minute, but I want to read to you this article from The Hill by Jonathan Easley. And the title of the piece is Conservative Media Struggles with New Prominence Under Trump. And it's going to discuss some of the issues that they see, which is the more surface level. This is just like an outsider reporting. You know, I'm more of an insider here, so I'll give my insider viewpoint on this after we take a look at what the outsiders think is the issue that we have when it comes to the all of the different characters that we have in the conservative and libertarian media sphere. Listen to this. Conservative media outlets have suffered through a tumultuous few weeks punctuated by infighting and public controversy, underscoring the difficulty some are having adjusting to the new levels of attention and scrutiny that comes with their elevated status in the age of Trump. GOP majorities in Congress and Donald Trump's presidency have been a boon for conservative media, which has benefited from increased access to Washington's power brokers and a White House that has gone out of its way to accommodate outlets that were once considered fringe. But the transition from the edges of the media to its center can be difficult. Conservative media's mainstream peers have greeted them with suspicion and hostility, often eager to highlight the newcomer's stumbles or question their legitimacy. In interviews with nearly a dozen key figures in conservative media, right-leaning reporters and editors spoke about their relative youth and inexperience and the need to professionalize and move on from the sensationalism that initially helped them attract readers. Let me read that to you again because this is so important because of all the bullshit that these conservative and some libertarian news outlets have been pushing on us. I'm pausing here for a moment because I just want to make sure that we emphasize this, that these people have built their empire of lies. And now they feel the need to professionalize because they're actually getting scrutiny because all the bullshit fake news that these institutions have been pushing for years. While people like Glenn have tried to maintain some journalistic integrity, people like myself, I have pushed hard to maintain journalistic integrity at the Libertarian Republic, even so much so that I let one of my writers write a piece bashing me during my presidential campaign, because it is so much harder to put out something that is ethical and honest, even if it's considered biased, which we know the libertarians are going to be biased in favor of liberty. But let me read this sentence to you again so that you can understand what we're looking at here. In interviews with nearly a dozen key figures in conservative media, right-leaning reporters and editors spoke about their relative youth and inexperience and the need to professionalize and move on from the sensationalism that initially helped them attract readers. Now, this is what pisses me off. This is what makes me so freaking angry, is because these people have made their fortunes. People like InfoWars, you know, name any, you know, right-wing trash magazine that has worked hard to not only to mislead you, but to flat out lie to their readers and to conspiracy theorize and to make their money on 9/11 is an inside job. Well, now we're a mainstream publication. Now we have to leave that behind, of course, because we're getting all this attention. And of course, we don't want to lose our profits, even though our profits were born on the back of lies. And that's what I think, by the way, Glenn Beck is trying to do. He doesn't want to be a part of what Tommy Loren signifies, which is, you know, just in mindlessly inflammatory news, which is, of course, very profitable, and BS fake news, which is just absolute lies and misleading, right? Or just saying what you think will be popular, right? It's populism, essentially, right? They want to have, you're going to have to distance yourself from the right-wing populism, because what populism really is that it believes in the wisdom of the crowds. Can I ask you guys a question? Do you believe in the wisdom of the crowds? Just think about that, okay? Right? A person is smart, right? But when you get people in a group and somebody smells blood or there's a little bit of danger, you know, the herd stampedes, okay? That's essentially what populism is doing, is on an intellectual level. It's just believing in the wisdom of the crowds. Right. And I hate it because we as libertarians are always experiencing this. It's like, well, most people don't agree with, you know, most people don't agree with you on legalizing drugs. Right. You know, most people don't agree with you on cutting the military budget. Right. You know, most people don't agree with you. Yeah. Well, you know, most people are pretty stupid. Yeah. Most people are pretty dumb. That's why you see so many of these institutions and outlets pandering. They pander to the crowd. Right. And people, because now it's like we snub our noses at the elitists, the globalists. Oh, my God, they're an elitist. Yeah. Somebody was some moron. I mean, I shouldn't talk about a YouTube comment as any, you know, sort of indication of anything. But I mean, in a YouTube comment, someone was saying, you're an elitist, Austin, and the elitists have always been against guns. I'm like, no, actually, it's possible to be an elitist, to believe that we should strive for the best and we should strive to be as intellectual as possible and to be the Renaissance men and women that we were during the Enlightenment era. Now we're moving towards an idiocracy. But to be an elitist is to consider that you want to try and have the best, that each individual should try and excel, excelsior, to be the best that you can be. But the sort of mass populism that was fomented during the Tea Party years and went off the rails into the sort of naked, bloody, disgusting populism that we have now, which is opposed to intellectual, conservative, and libertarian traditions. It is how we have gotten into the mess that we have. Now, let me continue on this because I'm just getting heated and I need to chill out. Okay, I'm getting a little sweaty in my Superman shirt here. All right, moving on. Now, these young conservatives who pushed bullshit now see their challenge as one that mirrors what the Republican Party as a whole is experiencing as it makes the transition from being the opposition party to the party in power. Quote, I think there is a bit of an existential crisis, said Lucian Wintrich, a 28-year-old gay conservative provocateur who is moving to Washington to be the White House correspondent for the Gateway Pundit blog. Yes, a gay conservative provocateur, just what we need. more of it's the fashion now to be a gay conservative provocateur, and more power to him. I mean, I guess I've been wanting for conservatives to start accepting more gay conservatives, but they used to push them out, right? Go Proud was a gay conservative institution, which was not invited to come to CPAC a few years ago, and now it seems that conservatives are, you know, jumping all over themselves to try and get these gay conservatives in, because they're what they do is they're doing what Glenn Beck is not doing. They're pissing off the left. Their entire existence is to piss off left wingers and Democrats, and that's what this populist movement has done. Now is that we revel in our tribalism and we support people who just make the other side angry. People like Tommy Lahren, who they're not there to actually educate their viewers. They're not there to point them in the direction of enlightenment. They're there to keep them in the sludge and the slime and to keep us fighting amongst not only our opponents, but ourselves, because they thrive on this controversy and hate. It's just so disappointing. And I've run for president of the United States, so I've seen some stuff, man. I've seen it. I've done some stuff. And I've been around, and I just get so tired of the hate and the factionalism and the politics of personal destruction that these people engage in. But I'm not talking about Lucian Wintridge himself. I don't know him very well. I've just started to hear his name bandied around. But here's his quote. He says, we're having some growing pains as we try to expand our reach and become more mainstream and less sensationalist in our writing and journalism. It's an interesting transition. You have publications have not had much oversight, suddenly needing to reevaluate how they do things. All right. Yeah, all of a sudden we've got a conscience. All of a sudden we feel the need to reevaluate ourselves now that people outside of our little in-group, outside of our little cult of personality, or outside of our little populist group of people who all agree with one another, all of the Kool-Aid drinkers are now no longer just listening to ourselves. It's not just the Kool-Aid drinkers anymore. All of a sudden, we're getting listened to by people who haven't drank the Kool-Aid, and they realize we're fully, you know what? Yeah, of course, you were full of it the whole time. God, I hate the whole left-right paradigm. I hate tribalism. I'm just so sick and tired of it. You know, we are Americans, ladies and gentlemen. Why can't we look at the bigger picture? We are all individuals. All right, I'll take my rant to the end of this piece. Okay, let me just continue. The millennial-focused conservative website Independent Journal Review suspended three staffers last week, including creative director Benny Johnson, a former BuzzFeed reporter who had been a high-profile hire for the Young outlet, for publishing a conspiracy theory about President Obama. The controversy provoked one of the site's reporters to resign in frustration over the direction of the company. Now, if you guys don't know who Benny Johnson is, Benny Johnson was fired from BuzzFeed for plagiarism. They kicked Benny Johnson out because he was recycling stories on the internet to make them into BuzzFeed articles without citing the reporter. And then he went to work for, I think, the National Review Online as well, but then he ended up somehow at Independent Journal Review. But I mean, Benny's a perfect example of how you fail up in these conservative circles. Like, once you get to a certain level, it doesn't matter if you've gotten busted for plagiarism on a major level. You're just gonna get another job, because it's just how Washington works. Also, last week, Breitbart News investigative reporter Lee Stranahan quit the publication after going public with his frustrations with the site's political editor Matthew Boyle, who has greater editorial control now that former chairman Stephen Bannon has become Trump's chief White House strategist. Meanwhile, Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze, suspended one of its top personalities, the unapologetically pro-Trump booster Tommy Lahren, for announcing on The View that she supports abortion and for criticizing anti-abortion conservatives. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up there, Hill, because remember, it wasn't just that she supported abortion. It was that she called the pro-life conservatives hypocrites. And she's been on the record saying a whole bunch of nonsense for a long time now. But, you know, with Glenn, think about it. Glenn's got a shrinking base already because he refuses to be a Kool-Aid drinker for the Trump for the Trumpsters. And so what you have here is Glenn probably trying to hold on to the audience that he has left. Call me, Glenn, if you need some help, all right? And Fox News yanked one of its top legal experts, Andrew Napolitano, the worst of all. Andrew Napolitano, after he alleged that a British intelligence agency had wiretapped Trump Tower at Obama's request. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer repeated the claim during a press briefing, resulting in an international backlash. The errors and turmoil have frustrated some on the right, who warn that the mainstream press and the left will seize on every misstep in an effort to delegitimize conservative outlets. Yes, absolutely. And why shouldn't they? Right? Because you're not legitimate. Because, now, I'm not saying The Blaze isn't legitimate. I'm not saying Fox News isn't legitimate, but we've got a lot of illegitimate websites. We've got a lot of illegitimate fake news out there on our side. You know, like, I get sick because when you see the Trumpsters, right, they anything that they don't agree with is fake news. If they don't agree with it, it's fake news. But if it, it but the, but that's the thing is if it con- if it doesn't confirm their biases, well then it's fake news. But then when you post actual fake news about some conspiracy theory about Obama or blah blah blah, well oh then it's totally legit, even though it's on conservativecrapreview.com with, you know, 50 million ads everywhere that give you the viruses, and it's like, and it, you could barely read it because there's like, you know, the next article is like, you know, Sarah Palin in a bikini, even though she didn't actually pose for that. And it's like, oh my God, you can just see like your like grandfather, like forwarding that through an email, right? Like this is totally legit. Obama is a Muslim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God, I just hate it. Anyway, so I'm ranting. I need to finish this. I need to finish this for you so we can talk a little bit at the end of this. Conservative media has always been held to a higher standard than liberal media, and as conservatives, we have to live up to that higher standard, said Matthew Continetti, the editor-in-chief of the Washington Free Beacon. When we don't, it not only undermines our work as journalists, but also the conservative project as a whole. Very true. Tensions between the mainstream press and right-wing media outlets have spilled into the open in recent weeks. State Department reporters cried foul when only one outlet, the conservative IJ Review, was allowed to travel abroad with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. The IJ Review instructed its reporter, Aaron McPike, not to tweet or write daily news reports. She focused instead on a single feature story that could be packaged as an exclusive. Okay, that's how, and that's called controlling the news. Reporters excluded from the trip were furious that McPike didn't act as their eyes and ears by filing incremental news stories or pool reports. And Wintrich, the Gateway Pundit correspondent who once ran a group for young gay men called Twinks for Trump, was accosted in the White House briefing room and called a racist by a Fox News radio reporter who berated him in front of the press corps. If you're legacy media and have been trading on that access for decades, when the new guy comes in and gets your access, it's enraging, said Sean Davis, a co-founder of The Federalist. I don't buy that this is about conservative outlets making errors or not knowing what they're doing. This is legacy outlets acting like an entitled monopoly or a cartel when someone new comes in and does the job better than they do. Well, pause right there, because if the one person who's granted access to the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, is not filing pool reports and is not doing their job as a reporter, but is just posting a fluff piece on the new Secretary of State, then they are definitely not doing what they're doing. You know, the conservative, whether you're a conservative, you should be holding the president and the people in power to their feet to the fire, too. You know, don't you realize that we had an enormous failure last week? Like, we act as if we haven't just screwed the pooch when it comes to the repeal of Obamacare. Just last week. Are you tired of winning yet? Is this winning? Is this what we call winning, ladies and gentlemen? No. It's loser. It's a huge loss. Anyways, sorry. I'm never going to get through this piece if I keep getting off track. Still, many conservative media players interviewed by The Hill acknowledge that adjusting to the brighter spotlight, coupled with the gravity of covering the White House, has been a challenge. A lot of them aren't ready for prime time, said John Ziegler, you think. A Trump's critic who spent in 20 years in conservative media, but left his radio show last year after he grew weary of battling his pro-Trump audience. Man, I know what that's like. A lot of so-called conservative media is like the dog that caught the car, and now they don't know what the hell to do. They're completely confused because they've never been in this situation before. So true. Many are rushing to, quote, professionalize or, quote, institutionalize their operations. Some conservative outlets have never before been in the rotation for White House pool duty. Their reporters are learning on the fly as they follow the president around the country to file reports for the benefits of the entire press corps in what has traditionally been the domain of nonpartisan outlets. Breitbart has applied for its first permanent congressional credentials, a process that opens the outlet to new scrutiny about its investors. In order to get the credentials, Breitbart had to disclose that the conservative billionaire Robert Mercer, a major Trump backer, is a part owner. These outlets are also facing editorial challenges over how to cover a political landscape that is dominated by like-minded conservatives. It was a lot easier under Obama when you could just hate on everything he did, said one source who works in conservative media but requested anonymity. And covering Trump, who is not a traditional conservative and who is viewed as reckless and dangerous by some in his own party, presents a unique challenge. Trump has added a new dynamic to conservatism, said Ben Shapiro, a former Breitbart editor who now runs the Daily Wire. another conservative news site. Politics used to exist on a right-left x-axis. Now we've added a pro-Trump, anti-Trump y-axis, and that's throwing everything into turmoil. Indeed, the way these outlets cover Trump is often itself news, especially if the story is coming from Breitbart. Under Boyle's stewardship, Breitbart has steadfastly backed Trump, even as the president whips support for an Obamacare replacement bill that the outlet has tried to sink. As they have long done, Breitbart casts GOP leadership as the villains in the drama. That editorial decision has been controversial and is one of the criticisms Stranahan, the site's former investigative reporter, made as he unleashed a litany of frustrations with Breitbart's direction. Bannon was such a visionary, and when he left, it was significant, Stranahan said. It's still a good company, but there is a difference between being a good company and a disruptive one. When Steve left, it was a big deal. Still, Breitbart's impact on the political landscape remains. They lobbied hard to doom the GOP health care bill, making themselves instrumental in shielding Trump from political damage while setting Speaker Paul Ryan up for defeat. Boyle is one of only a handful of reporters to score an Oval Office interview with Trump. But access can have its downsides. Breitbart scored an exclusive interview on Facebook Live with White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer minutes after a judge blocked Trump's travel ban, a much-watched scoop that was undermined by the broadcast's poor production values and awkward camera angles. Even as these tensions play out in public, though, conservatives argue that the growing pains are a good problem to have. They believe conservative media can appeal to a growing audience frustrated with the mainstream press. This is healthy. These outlets are earning their battle scars, said one editor at a conservative outlet. These are the key moments every outlet needs to survive and get to the next stage. It sucks now, but we'll get there. And that's the thing, is that, you know, perhaps The Blaze and Glenn Beck and these people are going through growing pains. You know, perhaps they will get through on the other side. I can't tell you how many times I have been so afraid of what's going to happen with the Libertarian Republic, because, you know, it is so insanely difficult to make a living doing this, and it's such a crowded sphere. You know, I wanted to professionalize libertarianism in many ways and to make our ideas more acceptable to the mainstream. But it's so hard because, again, you have all of these different factions. And of course, people are willing to sensationalize. People are willing to make up, you know, people are willing to plagiarize. People are willing to conspiracy theorize. And if you don't have all the facts, you know, at least in my publication, you know, we hold ourselves to a stringent standard. That's not to say that we don't make mistakes. We absolutely do. And we try very hard to have the type of credibility that any kind of news outlet would have. But what we don't do is we don't go out there and just sensationalize just for clicks or just to make a buck, because we know we'll be harmed on the back end of that. But I see that the viewers on the Facebook stream are starting to fade away. I guess you can feel it's towards the end. I have been ranting long enough, and I'm tired, and I got to get ready to go home. Back to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Anyways, so we've got a lot to do this week. I'm headed back to Kansas City. Then I'm off to Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at Swarthmore College. Then at the Mid-Atlantic Liberty Festival, I think it's been talked that it might be canceled. Maybe it's still going on. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm going to figure that out today. Brandon, help me out. What's going on today? So I'll get my schedule out there. Check the events page on my Facebook if you have not. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher later, if you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/producerpeterson, on the left-hand side, you'll find the events page. That's where you can see where I'm going to be speaking. I've got a lot of really cool gigs coming up, and some bad news. I know you guys were kind of excited that I was going to potentially keynote the Republican Liberty Caucus's convention in Orlando, Florida, and it turns out that I have not been invited to speak. So if you thought you were going to get to see me there because they tweeted about having me as a keynote, I'm not keynoting. I will not be appearing. So I will instead be focused on my efforts back home, because lots of big exciting news coming, and I know you guys are going to want to be a part of it. So you'll be keep coming back listening to the Freedom Report podcast, because this is where you can get all the latest updates from me. Sometimes people complain, they're like, Austin, you're so broad and when on Twitter, and they're like, you only speak in generalities. Well, of course, because it's 140 characters. So right here, right now, where you're listening is where you get my further extrapolations on policy and media questions and issues, and I love the feedback that I can get from you guys. So don't be afraid to send me messages to my Facebook page. That's the best way to get in contact with me, facebook.com/producerpeterson. Also, check out what the Stonegate Institute is up to, fighting for liberty on the local level. Stonegate is spelled G-A-I-T, Stone Gate, S-T-O-N-E-G-A-I-T, stonegateinstitute.org. Check it out. They're doing good stuff over there, as well as Loki Pack, our new super PAC, which is dedicated to electoral mischief. That's Loki Pack, L-O-K-I-P-A-C. Check us out online. You can find us, Loki Pack, on Facebook. Like our page, and don't forget to follow us. Have a great day, guys. Have a great week. Flying back to Kansas City today. Have a wonderful day.